And inch by inch, row by row, I'm gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone blessed these seeds I sow. Someone warmed them from below till the rain come tumbling.
Welcome to In the Garden. You're listening to KDWA, and I'm Kelly Casey, and across from me is our host, Shar Shar. How does your late summer garden grow?
Kelly, I'm slipping. By that, I mean I'm starting to take slips. It's getting to be close to fall.
Oh,
the mornings are cool.
Don't say that.
The mornings are getting cooler.
I know. I look out, and I feel the air, and I look at my garden, and I think, oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. I know.
All right. So tell us about slipping.
Slipping. Well, I am just doing some light ones, you know, not the major ones. Those are the slipping I do that closer to when I hear the word frost in the forecast.
So slipping is a way of preserving those plants you just can't bear to part with.
Right,
Today on In the Garden, we're going to be talking about big plants.
Big plants. Big plants for a big wow. That's what I like to think of it as. In one of our first years on In the Garden, I talked about when placing plants in a planter to try the thriller, spiller, and filler method. One is usually a tall plant with a lot of large leaves usually, one that trails along the sides, and then one that fills the in-between spaces. Well, that one tall plant in the center of the planter is what is called the thriller. So today I'd like to talk about thriller plants all on their own, if you should decide to use them by themselves, I should say. So let's talk about a few good choices for you and for your next year's garden, deck, or patio planting. And ideally, these are usually for pot planting, not in the ground planting. And one thing to keep in mind, you might need some assistance if you really want to go with the thriller style big plant as far as moving that plant indoors or repositioning it on your deck or patio.
Because we live in a climate where if you're going to save them from year to year, and you may choose to do that, you're going to need a very patient housemate and lots of windows.
Yes, sunny windows. And all the plants we talk about today need to be taken inside in winter. None of them are perennials. I am all excited about a new discovery of one of the big plants that I knew about, but I was reminded of in just the past week, a variegated leafed canna. A lady who is a great gardener in my township, Bee, has one growing, and its colors are white and green in a striped effect.
It looks tropical.
It is, and they do call all of these tropicals. So I did look it up on the internet, and I believe it to be Stuttgart canna. I'm definitely going to try one next year. It is absolutely stunning. I did read that in full sun planting, it might get a little burn on its leaf. So you could always plant it in morning sun or, you know, partial sun if necessary.
They also say that the more green, the more sun. So the less green, the more protected.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Stuttgart's flowers, by the way, are orange in color. But cannas in general, they have colors of reds, oranges, yellows, and pinks. And they are a mid to late summer flowering bulb, and it has to be dug up after a hard freeze and stored in a dry, dark place, like the corner of a basement if possible. And then the leaves themselves, like this one, Stuttgart, there are other colors. There can be like a red and green striped leaf, but a lot of them are just the deep maroon leaf or all green. One thing about them, they can grow as tall as 6 feet. but there are some that have been hybridized down to dwarf varieties, maybe only a couple feet tall. And they are, by their very nature, what is called a tropical, so they need an abundance of water when they get really growing good and blooming. So remember that. And next, elephant ears, colocasia or alocasia. These are also grown from a bulb that should be, when fall comes, stored in a cool, dark place over winter. The one thing about elephant ears, they should not be exposed to any frost. So prepare to take them in when there is frost in the forecast. One thing about them also, they do best in a part shade situation. Morning sun is best. Their leaves can be huge, and they can come in a wide variety of colors and striping. I have a dwarf variety that is in the alocasia family. It's called Caladora Dwarf. It's all green leafed variety. I've had it many, many years now, and it's deader than a doornail looking each spring, but it just comes back so faithfully. I'm sad to say I haven't repotted it in years. Shame on me. In this family of plants, especially, when you bring it inside, taper off with the watering. Don't just let it go dry all at once. Just do a tapering off. Let its leaves yellow. And when it will eventually dry off. And then when they're totally dry, the leaves, that is, then you can cut them off or down. Hibiscus. I was going to have Kelly tell about her hibiscus experiment earlier. It does have a sad ending, though, you say?
Well, it has good and bad. The good was is that I took a cutting off of it when it was growing healthily, and I popped it into a Gatorade bottle full of water. And sure enough, it sent down lots and lots of stringy roots, and it even bloomed two blooms.
Wow.
So that was amazing to me. I really didn't think that that kind of a cutting would work that fast. But the mother plant that I took it off of has not done so well. Even though I've fertilized it twice, once in the early part of the year, and then again just recently, I have yet to see any of it set a bloom. So I'm not sure what's happening with that plant. It's nice and vigorously growing and healthy, but not a single bloom. So sometimes it's hit and miss.
Yeah, you never know.
Hibiscus are so showy, and they're so beautiful, and there's so many different colors, and you want to see it, you know, emerge, and mine just hasn't. So sometimes there's good news and bad news.
Yep, that's right. And generally, they get to be quite tall, too. So in the fall, when you do bring them in, and this could be a heavy pot, you may want to trim them back. I know my mom had a red one, the typical red hibiscus. She always trimmed hers back. And you have to put them in a pretty sunny location when they're inside, too. And try not to fertilize them until spring, when you want to either take them outside again or repot them, possibly. And again, with houseplants, when you're bringing them inside, especially hibiscus, they've got lots of branches, lots of leaves. Check for creepy crawlies. If it's necessary to do the spraying inside of a plastic bag, do that. Like I say, there's a lot of spaces for bugs to hide on a hibiscus shrub. And like Kelly said, there's a lot of beautiful colors in hibiscus. There are doubles and sometimes like bi or tricolors combinations, just stunning. And then driving to and from town, I noticed a lot of people, or several people, have banana plants sitting outside their front door. And I think they're taking advantage of the nice summer weather and some sun, although I would probably make sure they're never in full sun, but probably dappled sunlight. And again, provide sufficient water. They are definitely a tropical. And with banana plants, always keep the forecast in mind. It would be a shame to have a hailstorm come and do damage to those big, beautiful leaves. The thing about bananas, plants, I always would be curious to see if those people actually get little bananas out of them, because I know they do. I know that they are capable of doing that. Wouldn't that be fun to see?
It'd be great to hear from if you have any experiences with that, or if you have a particularly great picture, please send it to our KDWA Facebook page, and we'll be happy to post those sharings. So that's a good idea.
That would be great. Another plant I see a lot of people put outside in the summer is the parlor palm. Not just your little palm. These are the ones that are several feet tall. Our grandmas probably had them in their parlors, hence the name parlor palm.
And that's why we keep them.
Yeah, that's right, because of grandma. Sentimental. And they, like I say, they grow several feet tall and do really well outside in the summertime. Again, check them for hitchhikers because of the nature of the way the palm fronds come out. They come out of this tightly furled stalk, and insects just love to crawl down inside of them. So make sure you check there. And also on anything bringing in like the hibiscus or other houseplants, check the drainage holes. Maybe give a good spray or squirt when you're doing the spraying for insects down in the drainage hole area. The one plant that I didn't get for myself this year was the agapanthus. Wonderful, wonderful plant. Hasn't bloomed, the one I had hadn't bloomed real freely, but I think the newer varieties that have been hybridized, they do bloom more readily rather than waiting till the plant is huge before it sets blooms. It is the truest form of blues. If you get a blue agapanthus, we had a show on blues in the garden. There's a light blue and a dark blue of the agapanthus, a wonderful shade of blue. And they also have a white agapanthus. And sometimes I'll see a broadcast from Florida or California, and you can see landscaping in the background, and there's the agapanthus blooming. They have grass-like leaves, and then the flowers is held in a globular, almost like an allium, but it's not in that family, tight clusters of flowers. And they just look like they're floating or suspended in the air. And so next year, that's my goal. I am going to try to find those again. But just a wonderful plant, definitely a tropical, has to be brought in. And hopefully you could find one too if you're interested in a blue. So there you have big plants for a big wow.
I do want to talk a little bit too more about the moving in of the big plants. You do have to have space. I wanted to give kudos to a couple that I know who are very into plants. And the husband, actually, Earl, made a long list of things that they wanted to bring in, but they really didn't have room. So what they did is that they took the side of a garage that they had, and they opened it up so that it has windows going across the whole light. And then they also put in grow lights. So they have 16 feet. Now, this is a large garage, but 16 feet of grow lights. So not only do they get some natural sun from the window bank, but they also have the grow lights, and all of my mother's geraniums are going to go in this fall, and she's just tickled because usually you have to cut those way back, right. And some people shake the dirt off of them and put them in a plastic bag or whatever, but there's just no way to express the joy that you have with you have a wonderful plant that's blooming and growing and thriving, and the decisions that you have to make every fall, it's kind of a Sophie's choice.
Yes,
and
it
you
is.
Have to figure out which ones are worthy of coming back in. And usually your big plants get your oldest plants get the they get the seniority. So they're the ones that come in first, and then you start filling in. Well, if I just move this run around, and then pretty soon the indoors looks a lot like the outdoors, which is just fine. But you have to have
The room for it.
You have to have the room for it. Mm-hmm. And it brings the spring in and it continues the season. And we certainly need that.
Oh, yes.
So it's really wonderful to have. If you have the space, bring in what you can. But Char, talk us through a little bit of the trimming of some of the plants, like a geranium. If you want to keep that going, how much should you take off to where it's still going to be healthy and thriving?
Never more than a third of the plant. You don't want to have it go into total shock. So I would, if you're looking at, I don't want to say in inches here, but just a third. You want to get rid of anything that's kind of lopping off to the sides. You want to have kind of more of a straight upright growth because you don't have a lot of room at the windowsill. But just go a third down if it's a tall, fairly tall geranium. That would be not harmful to that particular plant.
And I know you keep coleus over the winter as well. And are you taking slips of that now?
I do. I am. And then when they get a sufficient root, I'll keep some in water. And then I will, in the wintertime, I'll do my little indoor gardening routine and plant some right into the dirt. And that's what I did this last winter. And they are just beautiful right now. I'll have an abundance of good stems to take a good slip from. I haven't done all of them yet, but I'm starting to do that. And yeah, I've had good luck with coleus.
So there's a lot of things that you are going to have to start making a list of things that you really want to bring in. And I start eyeing my windows about this time of year. And I know it's a little early, but as you said, that first frost can really sneak up on us.
Catch you by surprise.
You really can. And so if you're covering, if we're going to get into the frost here pretty soon, we usually have maybe a frost and then we have several days or maybe even weeks of great weather.
Afterwards.
What are some of the things that you can gently tent and hope that you have a little bit more life out of them if you're not bringing them indoors?
Rule of thumb would be anything that has a watery stem will not survive significant cold nights. You could cover geraniums and not have to worry too badly. But even covering impatiens or begonias, you have to do a pretty thick covering on them and then watch them the next morning to see if you put enough covering over it. But the more water in the stalk is a rule of thumb. Geraniums can actually take a little bit of a cold snap. I would still cover them, maybe not as tightly as I would impatiens or begonias, anything like that. Now, marigolds, they can survive a little bit of a cold snap. I wouldn't even cover them, actually, because they do come out of it. Maybe the leaves might wither, but the blossoms don't generally look bad after a light frost. So zinnias are a pretty tougher stem also and can take a slight frost. So I wouldn't worry about covering them unless it got really, really cold. But anything with a watery stem that if there's even a kind you wanted to, like coleus has a very watery stem, I wouldn't let them get near the frost.
Now, your kale plants, some people even plant them later in the summer for a fall kale crop.
Right.
And there's those ornamental kale that also are really just hitting their stride this time of year. So those are probably fine. Now, your cannas that have the huge leaves and things that you're going to be digging later in the fall, do you need to cover those up to preserve those, foliage?
I wouldn't. I think that they are fine. I've seen them go through a frost when it hasn't been way low, but below 32. They seem to do all right. But I would, and how do you cover a canna, really? It is difficult. It is very difficult. But anything that's shorter, I would always just do a little extra protection if you plan on bringing it in as is. So just take a little extra precaution.
Well, we're trying to extend the season, and we've been talking big plants this time. Thanks so much, Char, for putting together another wonderful show, and we hope that you are having a wonderful season in your garden. And we will be back again next week, as always, on Wednesday with more In the Garden. Thanks, Char.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
That's In the Garden for today. Remember to tune in for our next program with host Char Char. We'll bring you a full season of information on all things green and growing. From foliage to flowers, veggies to patio planters, we'll share our love for gardening thanks to these fine sponsors.